Nicolas Cage is a Marine tasked with protecting a Navajo code talker.
Unless the code talker is captured, then he's tasked with killing him.
Along the way, there will be god-awful musical duets, a baby Mark Ruffalo of dubious ethnicity, racism, and lots of explosions.
This episode's film is Wind Talkers.
General thoughts, it's an epic. It's trying to be an epic for Nicolas Cage. This was a tough one for me.
Oh, really?
And I remember watching it a long time ago, probably, and then I have lots of stories to tell you also about this, you know, surrounding this movie. But I remember watching it years ago and liking it quite a bit, you know, just really liking it. And then I don't know if you're watching it, you know, it's those movies that you watch later in life and you're like, wow, this is really bad.
See, the complete opposite for me.
Really?
When I first saw it, I could not stand this movie.
Yeah.
And the beginning, the first probably about, maybe in the first half of the film, I still didn't like. But by the end, I actually like teared up at the end.
Did you?
Oh. Yes.
And that was because of Benghazi.
Yes.
Yes. He's, yeah. I like the movie just fine. It's just, it's a hard, I think as we go on with our podcast, it's going to be hard to review war movies.
Well, it's not that it's a war movie. I mean, I think Band of Brothers is amazing.
Yeah.
I loved that whole series. Though I didn't like The Pacific, funnily enough. Mm. And I can discuss that later. I'll say it. So in Band of Brothers, these guys, they're green. They're like all, oh, shucks, we're going to go, you know, beat some Germans and, you know, yeehaw, America. And they get out there and it's not this glorious, noble thing.
No.
It's horrible and it's violent and their friends are dying left and right. And by the end of it, they're just jaded. They're still good at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still good people. But they're so jaded. And they're so, I mean, there's a scene where, like, this guy comes back from the hospital
mm-hmm.
in one of the later episodes. And a bomb goes off nearby. Like, a mortar goes off nearby. And the guy who just came back from the hospital basically dives for cover. And the rest of the guys are just walking. And they just kind of look at him like, hey, nervous in the service?
Yeah.
Like, that's actually the line. Hey, nervous in the service. And he gets up. He's like, but that was just... And they're so battle-weary.
Right.
And so, in the Pacific, and this is just my opinion, but the miniseries by HBO, so I was really excited to see it. I love Band of Brothers. The guys are all, like, totally jaded jerks just from the get-go. And I'm like, where's the bright-eyed optimism, you know, before they go
like
to
the
war?
Like the Benghazi.
Yes.
The bright-eyed optimism.
Right. Exactly. Actually, I bring that up later. But it's just because they did think they were doing this wonderful thing and they're, you know, God and country, you know?
Yeah.
And so when the realities of war actually hit them, by, you know, Vietnam is when everyone's eyes were kind of opened about what happened, you know, what happens on a battlefield.
Oh, yeah.
And before that, there was this romantic idealism of war.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
I'll be honest with you. As we talked about, I haven't seen a James Bond film.
Oh, that's right.
I've never seen Band of Brothers.
Okay.
Never seen The Pacific. I don't watch a lot of war movies. I think it's just got a lot to do with, you come from a military family as well. I don't like the idea.
Okay.
You know, I've never been a big fan of even watching them. I do like Inglourious Basterds.
Okay.
I think that's pretty funny, but that's just because they're killing Nazis. You know, that's pretty funny.
Well, it's also very
it's
fantasy.
Exactly. And, it's very, it's a total...
It's not...
Total departure from it. Not realistic. When I was
magical
in seventh
realism.
Grade... Yeah, there you go. Magical realism. Exactly. Mm-hmm. When I was in seventh grade, they showed us Glory.
Okay.
And in school.
Yes.
And it was great. I mean, the you know, cannonball taking off the head.
Oh,
you know, the first
cool.
scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first season. Anyway, so Glory, we got to watch that. You know, it was one of those things where, okay, I'm watching it, but that... You know, it was more for historical purposes. You know, it was for history class or something
so
like that.
So my dad actually made me watch Platoon.
Oh, I love Platoon.
Because he said that was the closest that anyone ever captured Vietnam. Because my dad was in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And he said that was the closest anyone ever got to capturing actually what happened.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what about Full Metal Jacket? He's like, oh, no.
Yeah. And I liked Full Metal Jacket, too.
I like Full Metal Jacket, too.
I think that is
a
great
more
movie.
Of a Kubrick, you know.
Exactly.
My dad's like, no, it's all, like, artsy and everything. He's like, no, Platoon.
Platoon, my mom made me watch. Well, she didn't make me watch. She's like, let's watch Platoon. You know, let's watch this.
I know. My dad actually sat me down. I was like, here,
you're
watching this.
Yeah.
And this is what it was like. Yeah. So I don't want to hear any questions.
Mm-hmm.
Just
this is
see
it.
This?
Yeah.
Just, that's it.
Yeah.
We're not going to discuss it.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, he didn't want to talk about it,
yeah.
but he would just kind of like, quote, show me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good way. That's a good way to do it. art imitates life. So
that's true.
So yeah, but I'm not, so in general, I'm not a big war movie type of fan whatsoever. There's, but this, like you said, it seemed less about the war and more about Joe Ender's, you know, progression through his head, essentially, coming through and kind of coming full circle. And also Benghazi's growth. You know, so it was more about relationships than anything else.
It was. But it did have a lot of, I mean, stereotypical characters to...
Of course. Chick.
Kind of, yes.
Chick was like your total stereotypical...
Redneck racist, yep, yeah.
Exactly. And then, yeah. And it had your Mark Ruffalo. I forgot what his name was. I don't remember his name.
It was like Pappas or something.
Yeah, something like that. That was terrible.
So he was just... Mark, baby Mark Ruffalo. Throughout the whole thing, like, baby Mark Ruffalo this and baby Mark Ruffalo this. And then he says, what are you going to do after the war? And they're all talking about
how
he's
after the war. I'm going to go to
Vincenzo. It's like some weird accent. All of a sudden, I'm like, wait, is he Italian all of a sudden?
And he had this, he was doing something weird with his lips.
Yeah.
What's going on with Mark? That's exactly what I thought, too. And then, I think I wrote that down. What is going on with Mark Ruffalo's lips?
You Greek bastard, you get out there. And I'm like, wait, he's Greek?
Yeah. What was he? I don't know.
What?
And I think... I read, so I was going through the cast, I like to, because I never know any of the names like you do, or what they've done, you know, like, God, I know I saw him in something, you know, Princess Diaries, so I looked, you know, looked him up, and I swear it said Greek, so I knew he was of some sort of descent.
Oh, okay.
But.
Because I think they, at one point it says his name was Pappas.
Yeah, like Pappas, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But it was a very, you know. It is what it is. So I watched this last night because Jason really, really wanted to watch this with me.
Okay.
So he said after I had to cancel on Thursday, he's like, well, okay,
you know
good.
What did you watch last night? What
did you watch?
Marx Brothers. Oh. Duck Soup.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Animal Crackers, which I thought was really good, but the kids were getting tired and they were like, oh, we like Duck Soup better. But, you know, it had the whole, you know, outside of a dog, a book's a man's best friend, inside of a dog, it's too dark to read. That's from Animal Crackers. I'm like, that's like one of the most well-known lines.
But so I watched this after we went and watched Black Panther.
Oh, how was that?
It's very good.
I've heard it's very good. See, I don't go like the first 2 weeks movie, especially like, a Marvel movie comes out.
Packed, man.
I do not go the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it was good. You know, it was a really good movie. It was very well made, I felt.
I heard
and
it was amazing.
Yeah, it was very well made. Very good, like, you know, very good... what is it? What am I talking about?
Cinematography?
Cinematography, yes. Very good cinematography. The acting was fantastic. And it was just really cool.
I'm really looking forward
and
to
it's,
it.
And it's, you know, Black Panther.
Yeah.
So it's super cool.
Right.
And they had the one guy, I think his name's Michael B. Jordan.
Yes.
Only reason why I know him is because from Friday Night Lights.
Was
it Friday Night Lights, right?
Well, Burning Questions.
It wasn't, hold on.
Or Loose
Ends. I'm not a Ben. I might be wrong. I know he's in Creed.
Yes,
so I told
Creed,
I told Jason, I'm like, God, he's huge. He is buff in this movie, like super buff. And I'm like, what do you do? Take a bunch of steroids, you know, and just talking about it. And he's like, no, he just got off of Creed. And he was so, you know, he bulked up for that. And I'm like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. Because he wasn't like overly like, oh, grossly or anything. He just was a lot bigger, but he's also a lot older than what he was in Friday Night Lights. But he was good. And all the acting was good. And Angela Bassett was in it.
Oh, I love her.
Yes.
She's like... one of my idols.
I know. She's wonderful. She is wonderful in it. What's his name? He was as King of Scotland. In the King of Scotland.
Oh,
what's his name?
Forest Whitaker.
Yeah, Forest Whitaker. And I was trying to remember her. but it was very good. It was very good. Yes. And we got done with that movie at about 9:45.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jason stayed up late.
Yeah, he did stay up late. So he came home and drank a Rockstar so he could stay up with me and watch Windtalkers. He did not make it.
Aww.
But I was watching it, and I'd make him rewind it a bunch. So he was, you know, because I'd rewind it and watch it again, you know, just so I can write stuff down. He's like, I don't want to watch movies with you anymore. Because you were like, oh, I can't hear very well. So I'm always, wait, what'd they say? You know, and I'll turn it back and then go back again. But late last, it was after that. So it was after watching a very eventful, exciting movie that was new to me. I turned around and watched Windtalkers.
Oh, and it is.
And it's just a tougher one to get through. It's long, and I just, you know me in long
really
movies.
Long.
You know me in long. And Black Panther was 2 hours and 15 minutes. And you know that I'm not.
But if it goes fast.
It went fast. It was good.
So my son was homesick, my older son, and he's just hitting the age where I was kind of comfortable watching it with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He's seen all the.
I would
Lord
have felt,
of the Rings and all that stuff. So he's seen blood and everything. And, you know, he understands, like, war scenes and things like that. he's old enough. So I started watching it, and he had no interest. Like, that's crazy. He went to another room. He just, like, it just didn't interest him at all. And he came back, and he was like, how much longer so I can, you know, watch something I want to watch? And I paused it, and I was thinking, oh, there's, like, half hour left. It was, like, an hour and, like, 15 minutes left.
Oh, yeah. I think I paused at the same place you did last night. So, the director, John Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did Face Off, too.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. Yes. Take Face Off.
Because he did The Killer, which is, like, one of my favorite Asian action films.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he did, I was reading all about it last night. But yeah, a lot of Asian action films is what he did.
I mean, he's amazing. I don't remember any white doves in the movie. That's like his signature is white doves flying.
I don't know.
I don't remember that.
But there was somebody, there was another movie that he did. Oh, was it Battlefield
Earth? He didn't do Battlefield Earth.
No, he wouldn't have done Battlefield Earth. Somebody did that, though. Somebody was in it with him. So he
did. Forrest Whitaker was in Battlefield Earth.
That's right. And John Travolta.
Yes.
And
Barry Pepper.
Yes.
Yeah. Was in Saving Private Ryan.
Barry Pepper. He was also Roger Maris in 61.
He was.
And that's a fantastic movie. Have you watched 61 before?
I have, but we're going to rewatch it next season.
That is a really good movie. I really enjoyed that.
See, I really like Barry Pepper. I don't know why he doesn't have bigger roles.
I don't either.
He's really good.
Yeah. And the guy that played Mickey Mantle was...
Oh, gosh. I can totally see his face.
He was in the HBO series Hung.
Yes.
That was a crazy movie.
Too?
Who?
Patricia Arquette.
No. Yes. Him too?
I will look it up. I have my phone today.
No. And it all circles around. It should be like the 6 degrees
Thomas
of separation.
Jane.
Thomas, that's right. That was actually a really good series.
I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it at all?
No.
Oh, that was...
HBO for years and years.
It was, you know, like the premise, you would have thought, oh my God, that's disgusting. It actually was a really good show. I mean, I watched it all the way through, and there's not a lot of sex scenes or anything like that. It was just the idea of it, you know, and the idea that he was very well...
Endowed,
yes. So, but it never... Nothing ever showed on. I don't remember. But it was a good show.
It was no Boogie Nights.
Oh, God, Boogie Nights. No, it was no Boogie Nights. I remember watching that, too. That was...
It was actually a really good movie.
It was
movie.
Just fine, yeah.
In fact, the...
like I said, anything, it makes me feel anything.
Philip.
Oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Oh, my God.
He was
so
really good
amazing
in
that.
Yeah. He's mostly amazing in everything he did.
Yeah, I know. And it just... Sad. It breaks my heart every time I think about him having passed away. It breaks my heart.
Sad.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we start?
Yes!
So we open with, you know, your quintessential Western skyline, as you would say, your Arizona skyline with all the rock formations
and
whatnot.
The buttes and everything.
Yep, the buttes. Thank you. I was trying last night to sit there like, what the hell is this?
It looks like butts.
That's kind of looking butts. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And so you got the rock formations, and then it has, you know, the music. I wrote down, you know, how it's strange how music can just set a movie. And that at the very beginning completely set the movie, you know, just for me. Even though I knew what the movie was, and I tried to think back when I first watched the movie, I'm like, did I feel like that? Did I feel like it? Wow, it really sets, like, the older, you know, even though I know that pictures do that as well, obviously, but it just felt like it set it. It seemed historical.
Yeah.
The movie. So you come into kind of a camp area, or like, as you would, like a place for, you know, for Benyazi.
It's like a reservation.
Yeah, like with an American flag.
Yes.
Because he's American,
yes.
He says.
Yeah.
And he's much more patriotic than probably a lot of people are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then he's holding his kiddo, and he's heading out on the bus, and all of his family, seeing, and like probably, you know, the reservation, seeing him off, and he gets on the bus. He knows everybody on the bus. And then he sees his friend Charlie Whitehorse.
So here's the thing. My dad was Native American.
Yes.
And one thing that drove him bonkers was that when Hollywood did make a movie with Native Americans, they would just get any Native American actor they could.
Right.
And be like, hey, you're Navajo. Even though, I mean, like any nationality, different tribes, they have different features.
Exactly.
They have different clothing. Mm-hmm. They have different customs. And so it made my dad so mad that they wouldn't get...
Navajo Indian.
Or
to be...
for extras or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and he understood like the main actors. But he's like, but the extras.
Right.
I mean, because they would have, especially back in the day when he was growing up, all the Westerns, they would have anybody.
Oh, what, Charlton Heston? Do you remember what did he play in? Was it in The Third Man? Didn't he play? He played.
That.
Don't you remember in The Third Man?
Uh-huh.
He played.
I'll have to watch it again.
So Charlton Heston was in that, and he played a detective. He was a Mexican detective.
Paul Newman was an Apache with
blue
eyes.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's the same type of thing.
And like, so, I mean, my dad liked that they at least had Native American.
Mm-hmm. Is Adam actors? Beach? Is Adam Beach Canadian?
He is.
Just wondering, because they usually are. I'm not. No, I'm just saying, like, actors.
Let me double check, but I thought he was. It's in Idaho. I thought he was Coeur d'Alene, or maybe I'm just thinking about him being in Smoke Signals and he played Coeur d'Alene.
Well, Jason said also that he was in, because he was talking, he's like, oh, he was in this one show, and it was Canadian, of Native tribes up in Canada.
Okay.
And it was from that, and so he's like, maybe he is, so he might have been, that's just what he was saying, and I was like, oh, I didn't look it up.
Okay. I'll look it up later.
But I swear it was when I looked him up, it was American actor.
I'll look it up.
I don't know.
I really hated his, I called it a cameo, in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Not only did they not use him to his full potential, but, you know.
Do you ever watch him in Law & Order SVU?
A few times.
Yeah?
Yeah. That was kind of like,
did you enjoy that? The end. I mean, it's a tough one, because you know me, I'm a big Ice-T fan.
Yes.
Big Ice-T fan.
Yes.
Because you send me so many memes.
Yeah, the Detective Finn memes.
The two, those are my favorite.
Twitter.
Yes. Yeah. The two of them together sometimes, it's a tough squad. Like, it's almost like they're both reading.
Oh.
To each other.
Oh.
And, I mean, they were probably for full season, because I think that's when Munch was out sick or something like that, you know, his partner. But it was, watching it a couple times, I'm like, oh my God, just keep going. just keep going.
Oh, see, I tough. Really like Adam Beach.
Well, no, I do, and I do like him, and he was very good.
I've never seen Smoke Signals.
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Another one I have to watch.
Okay, I said that was a long time ago, but I remember really liking it when it came out. It's based on a Sherman Alexie novel. The same name? The novel's called The Lone Ranger and Tonto Fist Fight in Heaven is the name of the
novel. That's another bad... Did you watch... Not what you're talking about, but The Lone Ranger? Did you watch The Lone Ranger?
Yes, that actually was when my younger son... We would watch a movie and he would always like get up and wander around and talk and everything. And this is like a year ago, maybe. He finally actually sat down and started watching movies with us, not just
glancing
it. It traumatized him.
It's tough. That's
like
it.
He got
freaked out. What's his name? Army Hammer?
Army Hammer. Do you know, seriously, who he's related to?
Oh, Patricia Arquette?
No, Armin Hammer.
Oh, Armin Hammer? He's related to Armin Hammer?
Mm-hmm.
And his name's Army Hammer?
Mm-hmm.
That's dumb.
No, it's a family name.
I don't know, but Army. Like Army Hammer.
Armin Hammer.
His name's Armin?
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought his name was Army. His name is Army. Army.
I'm guessing that might be a nickname. I'm pretty sure. Or unless, I don't know.
Armie, because I remember thinking, God, that's a weird name.
I'm 99% sure he is from the lineage
of Armin Hammer.
Armin Hammer people. I'm not even joking, dude. Now you think I'm lying.
No, I don't. I don't think you're lying.
You're
Google it. You know, we digress. It's just our, you know, it's the charm of us now. So after we see, you know, Ben Yazzie scene, and they're so happy. You know, he and Charlie's like, I couldn't let the, you know, let the army think that, you know, you were the smartest one out there. When he's talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but they're so happy. They're so excited to go, you know, to go off to war. They're so excited to be part of it and everything.
They're helping their country.
Yeah, exactly. And then you see a beautiful butterfly on water and then blood.
Armand Douglas Army Hammer is an American actor.
Check Adam Beach up.
Hold on. Army Hammer on great-grandfather Armin Hammer.
Okay. Well, you learn something new every day. This is not, he's not related to the Arquettes.
That's true. And he hasn't married Patricia Arquette.
He hasn't married Patricia.
He is a Salto actor. Let me see what Salto, where that's from. Is First Nations. Ontario,
so, Canada?
Manitoba,
okay.
Saskatchewan, Alberta, and British Columbia, Canada. So he is Canadian.
It's so funny. Whenever I look up any actors and I'm like, oh, he's a great actor. She's a great actress. Canadian. Not all of them. I'm just saying that there's a lot of Canadian actors and actresses. Okay. Did you ever watch Rookie Blue, the TV show?
No.
So it wasn't a great, but every one of them was Canadian. Every single actor was Canadian.
Like Degrassi High or something?
Yeah, like Degrassi Junior High. I wake up in the morning feeling shy and lonely. Gee, I got to go to school.
I'm totally not cutting that out, Maggie.
I don't think I can make it. Don't think I can take it. I wonder what I'm gonna do. Wait!
Sing it.
So I forgot the rest.
Okay.
Wait, someone is smiling back at me. Wait. Someone's talking to me. Hey, I got a new friend. That's Degrassi Junior High.
You know, Drake started off on Degrassi.
Who's Drake?
The singer?
Like the
Drake?
Yeah, like the rapper? Is he a rapper? Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll double check that, but I'm not 100% sure.
You are totally wrong. It's going to be the Mickey Mouse Club. I know it.
No, that is a Britney Spears
song. I knew that one.
And Ryan Gosling.
I knew that one. I know all of those. See, those kids were when I was actually paying attention to stuff like that. But with Drake, I didn't pay attention to anything. But is it the Degrassi that I'm thinking of that I used to watch when I was in junior high? Or is it Degrassi after the Degrassi junior high that I know?
He was in Degrassi, The Next Generation.
See, I didn't even know The Next Generation.
Well,
fine. But that's interesting, because he's Canadian.
Yes.
See, exactly.
We probably have digressed enough, though.
Yeah, Canada. Canada, you produce some great...
My husband.
Yeah, your husband's Canadian. Mm-hmm. Look at that. So many Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
So many good things.
Yeah.
Way to go, Canada.
Like, I think 4 years ago, on Canada Day...
Mm-hmm.
I ate poutine at Fort Calgary. So I think that kind of makes me an honorary Canadian.
You're totally Canadian.
Yeah.
And you're married to a Canadian.
Yep.
Your kids are half Canadian.
Yep.
You're Canadian.
There you go.
I think all those things make a whole.
Yep.
Because they're all quarters. All right. So Joe, we see Joe in his beautiful eyes. And he's so beautiful. He looks so much better than he did when we last left him in Las Vegas.
Okay, I will give you that. He does look
so much better. Well, especially before he blows his eardrum and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. So, Solomon Islands.
Yep.
Oh, a very fake butterfly.
Oh, yes. That's what I wrote. Yeah,
and butterfly. And the water starts going all bloody.
All bloody.
And then kaboom!
Yep, and then everything.
iPhone.
Yeah, and then that's when, you know, it got tough to, like, write down stuff because I'm all dying. Everyone's dying. And so his whole platoon is dying. So basically we find out later.
Solomon Islands, 1943. Mm-hmm. Joe Enders leads his troop through the heavy artillery fire. He loses most of his company.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a choice to make. Retreat. Yep.
Or hold the line.
Hold the line.
And so he does what any good Marine would do.
He holds the line. Hold the line.
So then everybody dies except for him.
And doesn't one of the guys like, you did this, you did this.
Yeah, the guy that runs up and he just like, that's the guy that is asking him like, come on, Joe, we can get out of here. We can all live. We can get out of here. And mm-hmm. Joe's like, no, I have orders. Hold the line. What's it?
So now we're at Camp Pendleton.
So exactly. So he gets, you know, blown. I said he gets blown back to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
The native troops are being sworn in at Camp Pendleton.
Oh, Charlie troops. Charlie and Ben are getting into code school.
Yep, they go through basic training. Mm-hmm. They learn to be code talkers. And they use Navajo words for different military things. I meant to replace things with something more like military
jargon. Not even jargon. Lingo.
Yes.
Because jargon's kind of like, playful. Lingos. Yeah. Oh, what? That's
items.
Totally the things you should write. So then we see Joe in the hospital, and he can't even stand up.
No.
He's got vertigo super bad. You got Rita.
Well, he's still haunted by the war too.
Oh, big
and
time.
He's deaf in one ear.
Yes. Yes. And you got Rita, who has now befriended Joe.
Mm-hmm. She obviously is interested in him.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And she realizes, or she finds out, that Joe really wants to go back to the war. There's really nothing else for him to do. She says,
Joe, you're a mess. And this guy gets wheeled by that has both his legs missing. Goes, no, he's a mess. It's like, wow, ableist much?
Yeah.
Seriously?
So why don't you just stay here, Joe?
So he's getting better. It's only a flesh wound.
So, yeah, you see Joe getting better. He's taking a hearing test, and Rita, but it's okay. Rita.
So here's the thing.
Yeah. Doctors are stupid.
If you're in a war, you might need to be able to hear.
Yeah, he might.
Or else you might get other people killed.
Right. Well, Joe doesn't think like that right now. He's thinking of himself, even though he should be thinking about other people, because he just got a bunch of them killed.
Right.
And I wouldn't say he just got a bunch of them killed, but his blind loyalty just got a bunch of them killed. So, I wrote, those eyes make Rita do it.
Yeah.
He's just, blues. So now we're back at code school. We like to switch back and forth through this part because we got to get them both, you know, and then we get them everybody together. But code school and Ben and Charlie are decrypting messages. Mm-hmm. Charlie is much faster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, way faster
but
than
he is. But they're so happy and they're such good friends.
Oh, yeah.
And you can just see the big bullseye on Charlie's back.
Oh, you can totally see the big bullseye on Charlie's back. By the way, have you ever seen Last Mohicans? You've never seen that, have you?
No, I have not.
That's amazing. Have you not seen, like, Daniel... You've seen a lot of Daniel Day-Lewis movies?
I've seen My Beautiful Laundrette. I've seen Gangs of New York.
There Will Be Blood.
I saw that one.
Have you seen There Will Be Blood?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that one where...
I really like that movie.
He's, like, the last person of this commune on some island and his daughter, and it's really weird and, like,
I have not
incesty.
Seen that. Ooh.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really
We
weird.
Need to see... So, Last Mohicans, I really like the soundtrack. Like, I could listen to it. It's like The Mission. Have you ever watched Mission?
Yes.
I love them.
That's a good movie. And actually,
it's a great soundtrack, though, too.
When I was in college, I had a friend who loved that movie.
Yeah.
He just loved it big. See, I liked...
He liked big, like, epics.
Well, I would enjoy soundtracks that are, you know, bands. And that's how I just... Because back before the internet was like it is now. We had internet, but it wasn't like it is now.
No, super slow.
and also, you just didn't have...
At your fingertips. Nothing was at your fingertips. It was all you had to go search.
You had to really look for it. And so to find bands, you would have to either have a friend who would introduce you like to a band's music, or you would get soundtracks, and then you'd say, oh, who's this band? Who's that band?
Yep.
And so I always liked those kind of soundtracks. Whereas my buddy, he liked the big bombastic orchestral, you know. And so he loved The Mission.
The Mission.
And he played
it's
all
wonderful.
The time when he was doing his homework.
Yeah. It's a wonderful soundtrack. Mm-hmm. I love that one. Anyway, so.
Corporal Enders, we find out, has had a checkered past that the Marines straightened him out of.
Did you? So when they were talking about him, this is the first time we say Ox. And what's his name? Anderson? Ox. What's his name? Is that what they call him, isn't that?
Is that?
Oh, that's Christian Slater.
No, that's Pete Anderson.
Pete?
Yeah.
Who's Ox?
I have no idea. Was that his nickname?
I think that's his nickname.
I did not catch that at all, and he's like a skinny little thing, so I don't know how he's Ox at all.
Because of his build. That's what he says when he goes up and he runs with Nicolas Cage.
That's what they call him, Pete.
Yeah.
They're like, Pete, come here.
I started calling him Ox because it called... Yeah, anyway.
Here's the thing, Christian Slater's character, you don't give yourself a nickname.
No, he didn't give himself... He said they call me Ox and it's not for my build. Is what he said after he's running with...
Maybe he's supposed to be stubborn. I don't know.
I have no idea. Anyway, so this is the first time he sees Pete. I'll call him Pete from now on.
So I thought you were talking about... he's leaving Jason Isaacs, a.k.a. Lucius Malfoy. Miss, I don't watch Harry Potter movies.
I don't watch Harry Potter movies. Who's Lucius Malfoy?
He's the bad guy's dad, and he's bad. So that's Jason Isaacs. So, anyway.
And is that the lieutenant?
The commander who they goes in and he's like, congratulations, you're short now.
Yeah, but so we were talking, like you were saying, you were talking about his...
Jason Isaacs impression.
Oh,
did you like it?
I did. I liked it.
Because he's actually British and that's his American accent.
That's another thing. That's another thing coming I'm going to talk to you about. So, so he's, you know, better as a Marine than as a civilian. Did you see, like, the confused look on Nicolas Cage or on Joe Ender's face when he was bringing up his checkered past? He's all,
Well, I think the whole point is that much like Richard Gere and Officer and Gentleman, he has nowhere else to go.
Oh, that's...
Okay, seriously, you haven't seen Officer and Gentleman? You Gussett Jr.?
So Joe gets his orders. That's pretty nice, you know?
And it gets a bump in rank.
Yeah, that's right. He's now a sergeant. Mm-hmm. So he gets his orders. His mission is to protect the code at all costs.
Yes.
Not the code talker.
Well, his job is to keep him alive. And Ender says, well, I'll be better used as a killer, not a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
So that's why you're going to be...
Lucius Malfoy shows him the picture of the Navajo that was...
Right.
He was captured and tortured by the Japanese. And he wasn't a code talker, so he couldn't tell them anything.
Right.
And so you protect the code.
Right.
You protect the code talker, but if it comes to it,
you protect the code. So now he's on the beach, and he's running, and... God, Joe Andrews is really fast. Super fast. Do you see how fast he was?
Yes.
Wow, he's fast.
Right.
Yeah.
He's pushed himself to come back from all the wounds.
Yeah, man. And that's when...
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot?
Christian Slater's Mr. Robot in the show Mr. Robot.
Oh, iRobot? Like the...
No.
Mr. Robot. He's the dad of Mr. Robot.
No, he is Mr. Robot. Elliot's Elliot.
See, I only watched the first... I only watched the first season.
So we'll just call him
I watched at least.
Okay, Anderson.
Okay, Pete Anderson. That's okay. I called him Ox Henderson.
Well, that's okay, because I thought for the longest time Nicolas Cage's name was Penders. And then I finally looked it up, and I was like, oh, no, it's Enders. Okay.
So Charlie and Ben make it to the base. They have no idea what to expect.
And the but they're there, and they're super so stoked. Mean to them.
Oh, they're so terrible. But I did love, so Jogi meets Pete. Mm-hmm. I have to change that every time. Pete, they both have same orders, and Joe is like, don't get too friendly.
Right.
You know? So they go, and they're eating. They get their food, and they get their slop.
Yes.
This is all it looks like to me. It's just nasty slop. And
oh, but what about the casual racism where Pete walks up to him and says, how?
Oh, I know. He's like, oh, just so kidding. Bad. He's all, how? I'm just kidding.
Oh, I didn't hear
him say that. Yeah, you hear him say, oh, yeah. He said, because I was like, oh. And then he's all, I'm just kidding.
Okay, so that makes it a little bit better. Because he was. Seriously, Hollywood?
So really? Because he was talking and he said something about, I don't know, he said something to Joe, and Joe is, you know, doesn't say much because he can't hear anything. But, and then he's like, I'm going to go up and say hi to him. He goes, how? I'm just kidding, guys.
So I totally missed that. Okay. Well, so do you know what that's called? Because he goes, what do you call this? Chow. Okay. Chow. You know what it's actually called?
What?
On the shingle.
Oh, that nasty toast.
It's a piece of bread with chipped beef on top?
Yeah.
Ooh. That's the on the shingle. Well, I'm going to beep that out, so.
That's terrible. Yeah. Ugh. So Ben comes to introduce himself. Mm-hmm. Of course, Ben knocks Joe's drink into his food.
Yeah.
And then proceeds to, oh no. Knocks his drink off and then knocks his drink into Joe's food. And Joe didn't get mad.
Well, he says, well, you can have mine.
Yeah.
And so he takes his little salt shaker out.
Yeah, and just salts it and takes it and walks away.
Mm-hmm. So how's your white man? Hungry.
Yeah. That was pretty fun. So now they're in the barracks. Mm-hmm. They're playing cards. Cowboys over Creed. Oh, that was it. So they're playing cards. You know, they're going back and forth, back and forth. It's all the guys. And then Charlie and Ben are just back in the back, you know. Jason, for the longest time, he's like, every time I ever watch this movie, I thought he was whittling a pipe.
Well, it's a I'm flute.
Like, it's a flute, Jason. He's and like, he plays the flute 20 times after this. And he's like, I don't know. Anyway, so they're playing cards, and they get, one gets like fours over twos or nines over fours or something like that. And he says, nines over fours, read them and die, or read them and weep. And then Joe enters, Cowboys over Queens, read them and die.
Ah.
And it's just like those times, it was good. It's such a good line. So then Ben and Charlie are invited to play. Mm. So somebody takes off, and that's where the racist humor starts.
Ah.
Well, and Ben can take it. Mm-hmm. He dishes it right back out. Because mm-hmm. I've dealt with this for probably a long time, so this is what I'm just going to dish it back out. And Charlie's playing his, I kept calling it the recorder. But it's flute. Mm-hmm. My daughter is playing the recorder all the time. We're like, oh my God, shut your door.
Because both of my kids
No, it's a different one. It's not Hot Cross Buns. It's something else.
Well, at least it's not Hot Cross Buns, because man, if I never hear Hot Cross Buns again, no, she's I will playing be
something.
Okay.
I think she was in Hot Cross Buns a couple years ago, and now
recorder,
she's in something. Yeah.
Cello. Viola. Hot Cross Buns. Oh my God. It's like, I really never have to hear that song again.
So Charlie is playing his flute, mm-hmm. and Pete.
Yes.
Beautiful. He says beautiful. He whispers beautiful as he's listening to it. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously connecting to his code talker.
Right.
You know, he's connecting straight up to him. He's just, whereas Joe is still trying to keep his distance. Mm-hmm. He's trying not to fall in like with him. So the orders finally came through.
Oh, so Peter Stormare, I don't know if you ever watched, you ever watched Vegas to LA or LA to Vegas? Have you seen that show?
I have not seen it, but I have watched, hold on, there was something else,
He's funny. Oh my God, I can't funny, think of funny what is... actor. He was in Fargo.
Yep. He's in everything, but he does not have a good...
They call him the Viking.
Yeah. Well, because his accent, he's trying to be, is he supposed to be...
I think he's supposed to be
English accent, like not English accent, but just like an American accent,
maybe like a Swedish American,
yeah, or something. It was pretty funny.
They
didn't
even try. They just
they really don't.
And just run with it.
Yeah,
but he's so funny in so many things. So I thought he was quite.
He is really funny.
Oh, Minority Report.
I don't know if it was.
He was the really gross doctor that.
I can't think of anything else.
Tom Cruise like put away for something, and he got Lost His License.
I don't like Tom Cruise. I don't watch his movies. Sorry, Tom Cruise, if you're listening.
He didn't marry Patricia Arquette.
I didn't. I'm not worried about him. I don't have a grudge against Patricia Arquette anymore. Remember? I don't even have a grudge against anybody. Gosh.
The face you're making.
Gosh, it was totally Napoleon Dynamite. It was. It's my tots. He's from Salem, so.
He is.
Yeah, he's from Salem. They're going to go to war. Yes.
And then cheer because this is the 40s and they have a noble view of war, having not seen it firsthand.
Exactly. And then, but Joe, in the meantime, is having a major flashback.
He is.
And he has to leave and go and throw up.
But you're missing the whole character actor buffet.
Oh, that's right.
I love character actors. Anyway, so.
The character actor buffet.
Character actor buffet.
That's our next movie. That's going to be a huge character actor buffet.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
So the Navajo and the new sergeants are introduced, and Joe just kind of keeps touching his ear, and then he leaves before they're dismissed, which actually is usually...
It's very bad to do that.
You get in trouble.
Major trouble.
For that. But, you know, this is a movie. And
they're at war. It's different. Rules are different at war.
Not that, though. I'm pretty sure if you walk out while they're right in the middle of a presentation about we're going to war, that you'll get in trouble. So... Joe walks outside, throws up, and Ben tries to give him a lifesaver. And saved him on the boat over, you know. And Joe says, asks Ben, why are you here? And Ben points out that he's American,
too.
He's trying
to
help. War, too. Joe tries to tell him
that
war isn't a noble calling, but Ben just doesn't quite get it yet.
Yep.
He will, though, because the next scene
That's exactly right.
They're in the war against the Japanese.
I know, and it's like throws you in, thrusts you into it.
Bullets fly, mortars fall, bodies drop.
Oh, so this is what happens before they have their quintessential night before they go off to war. Okay. You know, everybody's drinking, everything like that. Rita comes and finds Joe. And so she toasts to war. And that same look that he had when he was confused of his past, he was also confused about her toast. And I don't know the meaning behind it. I don't know why.
There must be an actor choice that means something.
Exactly. Yeah. So something that he just has that exact same puzzled look on his face of why did you just toast to war? So yes, full on. So you get the war scene, and then
Ben is crouching in fear, and Joe is just like
he's full on kill
and
mode.
Killing, yeah, and killing and killing.
And we see that again some other time that we'll talk about.
And now Ben understands. But Joe keeps going even after the threat is gone.
Yeah.
Oh, good thing those stock footage warships were available to receive the coordinates, though.
It's all boom. I think I saw that in history class. So at this point in the movie is when I asked myself, is this a movie about Navajo code talkers? Or is this a movie about Joe Enders?
I think it's the whole, like, the white guy's story through the native people.
Yeah. So yeah, that's, yeah, exactly. So it's the whitewashed...
Right.
Version.
It's their story, but it's through
it's
this other guy.
It's still about that. Yeah.
So Joe runs up to the last machine gun nest and throws some sort of bomb in it, disabling it. And the other men look on in awe.
Yep, they do, because they've never been there before. Right. I'm assuming that all of these men are green, but Joe is not. Joe is completely, you know, a full-fledged war. He's a hero, because he also, as we find out, he has a Silver Star, which looks like the Bronze Star, but anyway, has a Silver Star, you know, that he got for being the one that lived.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, so he's the only one that's been there.
So the troops are making headway into the island, though, the Americans are. Though, as we see from all the fresh graves, that many soldiers have died to do it.
Yep.
The new password is Wind Talkers.
That's right.
They said the name of the movie in the movie.
Of course they did. That's pretty, yeah, because it's an epic.
Yep.
So Joe gets that look again. He's, you know... So it basically, we see a whole bunch of battle scenes.
Right.
At this point, you know, one after the other, after the other.
Right.
You get Joe to where he gets that look. He's got a switch that switches, and you can tell Ben does not have that switch.
Right.
At this point.
Right.
Because nothing's made him have that switch, and whereas you're seeing that Ben has a switch, he's constantly like saving or doing this or you know and whatnot, and he's constantly killing. He can kill as many people because that's just what he does. That's what he's supposed to do. And Ben is not enjoying this anymore, as you can see at this point. He has come face to face with a soldier, and he cannot kill that soldier. So Joe comes up behind him and slits his throat.
Right. And then Joe watches Charlie and Ben as they do some sort of ceremony.
Yep.
And Joe gets a letter from Rita. And Pete agonizes over the idea that he might have to kill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to have to. So, let's see. So, do you think you can do it, Joe?
So,
you think
we did watch the TV version of this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they I rented it. Out. Sorry. Oh, I ended up because I wanted to watch it. We don't have a DVD player in my room. So, without switching it, Jason's like, it was like $2.
Okay.
So, we just rented it. Sorry.
Well, anyway, so I saw the TV version of it.
What did they beep out?
They beeped out the racial slur for Japanese, but left in the slur for Native Americans.
They left in Indian, but...
Injun,
but then bleeped out... Ugh.
Yeah, it's really weird.
That is very strange.
But then I was watching the TV version of Fast and the Furious with my kids like a year ago or something.
Yeah, they didn't.
And they left in the derogatory term for gay people.
That's right.
And it's like, that's what you told me that,
yeah. That's,
so that
it's
doesn't
so odd.
Get beeped out?
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
So the racist guy, Chick, attacks Ben, and Joe just stands there and watches.
Yeah.
Just lets it happen.
Yep, he goes, well, you look...
Like, well, bang up job there, Joe.
That's exactly.
Kind of like what you're supposed to be doing.
But then
it's
Ben
until baby Mark Ruffalo jumps in and stops
Chase. Baby Mark Ruffalo with his lips.
Gonna get a villa in.
But I'm Greek.
Or Italian or something.
My mustache. And, but then, so, so the platoon comes and Joe chokes Chick out.
Yeah.
Or, like, at least stops him as long as he possibly can. And then it's, of course. He has to throw in that, well, you look like a Japanese man, so...
That's what Chick says. And then Joe says, well, you do.
Yeah, so if you're going to go running off. But he's trying to keep his distance. I would like to think that he's just trying to keep his distance. Because it's, you know, give benefit of the doubt to Sir Nicolas Cage.
Well, it's just that...
Every character that he plays in the whole world.
So Ben has already shown that he's valuable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, very valuable.
Even though he was terrified, he still managed to get the coordinates out.
Right.
To Charlie, and Charlie got him out to the ship.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like he's not valuable to the platoon.
Right.
And he hasn't already proven himself, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, definitely.
But, I don't know. It was very frustrating for me that would happen maybe earlier in the movie, but
right,
not
but
when
not...
they're already at war and they've already seen
exactly.
him. In,
yeah. And you've already gone through that battle. So then we see, you know, a little more insight into Charlie and Pete's relationship. They're making music together.
Charlie's so dead.
So dead.
And Pete has a harmonica.
Oh, he does have a harmonica.
And they play music together. Mm-hmm. Awful, awful music together.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
See, Pete's a good guy.
You know, he is a totally good guy. That's what I'm saying is when he said how, he's like, no, guys, I'm just kidding. You know, and like he was immediately...
Charlie's so dead.
No. Yeah, Charlie's so... He's so dead.
And sorry, Charlie. It was nice knowing you.
So you get Rita, you know, sends Joe another letter. Mm-hmm. And then we see Joe popping pain pills because he can't handle it. You know, because he can't handle the pain. And then you see Ben writing his son a letter and... You know, of course, having to get upset, Joe having to get upset at Ben for writing his kid a letter. And he's like, don't you know you're not supposed to send letters out. Like, letters can't
they
go out.
They postcard, postmarks, they'll...
Exactly.
Something,
yeah.
They'll
and then he... Then he
like
kind
that.
Of has a switch. It's like, oh, well, I've made
what
him mad.
Well, what he said was, Ben said, well, I thought I could just save them all.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the war, he could read them all at once.
Right.
And... His son's name is George Washington.
George Washington.
And Cassie. For some reason, all the guys are kind of like, hey, you are American.
Right.
And so...
And he says, yes, way more than you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I would love to say. So, I like the, they get the light resistance that their convoy gets. Oh,
well,
you're going to see light resistance.
Oh, I was going to say, but Joe gives Ben a cigarette and... Yeah, he doesn't smoke, but he'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because of later. It's foreshadowing.
Right. Oh, so then so the light resistance and everything, but
it's
they're talking about what they're going to do after the war.
Is that on this time? Oh my God!
So this Swedish concoction called yogurt.
Yogurt.
I'm gonna
I know.
Put strawberries in it.
I know. So that. So
that
what?
Was Pete. That was.
That
Pete.
Was Pete. Yeah, that was Pete. He was talking about it, and then there was
Charlie's going to get some sheep.
Yep, Charlie's going to because he owns. Charlie, well, he owns. So many sheep already.
He's probably richer than any of the other guys.
Oh, yeah.
In the
and you're like, oh, you're the richest. He's like, I do okay.
Yeah.
Like,
And then baby Mark Ruffalo is suddenly Italian and he's going to have a fleet of taxis.
A fleet of taxis. That's right.
And Ben wants to be a teacher.
That's right. He wants to teach history. A college professor. He wants to teach history. And that's when Chick makes a nice little jab on that one. That's nice. Thank you, Chick, you know, for your derogatory comments.
And Joe doesn't think he'll make it out of the war.
Nope.
So they get to this village, the light resistance.
Yeah.
And there's a voiceover of Rita's next letter telling Joe what's going on in Hawaii.
Right.
And so Charlie and Pete work on their duet. That I'm sorry, it's so bad.
So wonderful.
It really sounds
You just don't terrible. Have an ear for terrible music.
I don't have an ear for terrible music. You are correct.
You're just not that open, Lizanne.
So Joe goes to this building where this mother and her wounded son cower.
Yep.
And in Japanese, Joe asks what's wrong, and the boy replies that he has pain.
Yep.
And so he gives the boy one of his pain pills and some water. And Ben actually sees this, so he's like, oh, he's not this big jerky jerk like I think he is. But then Joe starts drawing in the rice flour, because they aren't going to eat it or anything.
It's like, I'm going to touch left. All of your rice flour.
Oh, no, it gets better, because then he gets all frustrated. So, okay. So he's drawing in it. He draws this big church, and...
That's where you find out that those two are they're
Catholic
not that different, right. Because they're both grew up Catholic.
Except that when Ben forgot not to speak Navajo at church, he was chained to a radiator in the basement for 2 days. And they talk about after the war, and Joe calls him Ben for the first time.
That's right.
But, you know, Joe gets upset, and I can't remember why. So he slams his hand in the flour and knocks half of it to the floor.
That's right.
This is those people's food. And if they're in the middle of a war, they probably aren't going to have much more food. So, yeah, let's just rub it all over the floor.
That's right.
Oh, my God. So Joe goes to the Viking and says, I can't do it. I'm off the detail.
That's right.
And the Viking correctly points out they're kind of in the middle of something. And he can't really quit right now. They're still in the...
Yep,
Did
sorry.
Did I skip over something?
What now? No, I was looking because I thought it was on my notes. I was like, oh, I'm hit. So his radio got hit. This is way back because I wrote that Ben was like, I'm hit. But his radio got hit.
Oh.
And then they had to do the put on the Japanese uniform. Did you miss all that?
I apparently did.
Okay, so I was like, where are you? So light resistance.
I think the TV version didn't have half these scenes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so apparently no more TV versions for us.
Yeah, so what happens is that... So you get light resistance and it's all friendly fire. So it's all the U.S. So that's what was happening because they were getting the wrong coordinates. So Ben gets hit, but it's not him. It's his radio that gets hit.
Okay.
So, you know, Joe's got to rip it off and basically he doesn't have a radio anymore. So they go and they're trying to find like a space to like a ditch, you know, one of the ditches to go into. And then they see where they need to like have the coordinates need to go because they're still getting hit. They're still, you know, friendly fire. So there's a radio in there. And so basically he's like, well, let's just use, this is what it is use racism to battle. Cause he's like, well, I look like a Japanese man. So he puts on, Ben has the idea to put on uniform, go over there and take Joe and like pretend like he's captive and then go in, kill a whole bunch of people and then go in. So they didn't have
totally
this. Okay.
Not my version.
So I was like, where are you? So
the whole thing about the card game in the beginning too, that wasn't in there either. Yeah.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. So he, anyway, so he comes and they finally get in. They're really, really close to the radio. They start killing a whole bunch of people. Ben starts killing people too. And then he ends up killing his first person in there.
Okay.
And he stabs him. And then they get to the radio and Ben radios, you know, this is where you need to go. Then they get out of there. So then they can blow that part up and then everything's happy. And then they go and they didn't have the part where Joe was drinking either and in the graveyard.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
But
so,
I might have just...
so that night... or that afternoon, this is where we find up the Silver Star. So
okay, yeah, I didn't. That wasn't in there.
Okay, so
apparently I'm just gonna have to rent these things.
So
I can't take the easy way out.
So this is one of the things. So we got a recommendation for accommodation. So you have like a big general like guy that's coming down, and he's like, I don't want to wait till after the war. Here's your Silver Star.
That was not.
And Joe says, well, I can't. I could not have done this without Ben Yazzie. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, oh, the Navajo. He goes, or no, he said the Indian, and he goes, and he turns around and he goes, no, he's a Navajo from, gosh, what did he say? Anyway, he talks, Ben talks about like where he's from, and he's a Navajo, and not a Navajo Indian, he's a Navajo, and he describes it somehow, and I didn't write down what he had said, that's terrible.
Oh, I'm from this tribe, from this area, from
exactly.
this,
exactly,
yeah.
And that's what Joe says people. About
okay.
him. So that's exactly what Joe says. And he's all, oh,
so he did actually listen.
Yeah. And so he's like, oh, I have to look that up when I get home. Thanks, Yazzie. And then walks away. Does not give him a Silver Star. Mm-hmm. But so he, you know, whatever. And then, so that night he goes and gives, because the kid died. So you didn't watch that one either. So there's a kid, there's the medic that was friends with baby Mark Ruffalo. He dies. And so baby Mark Ruffalo is very sad. about it. So he walks, because he was going to give him his ring. Like, he's like, take my ring to give to my wife, you know, when something happens. He goes, nothing's going to happen. So you keep your ring. Well, anyway, he got the ring off of him. Anyway, and then so
tell my wife. Oh, no, you tell him.
Exactly. Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, big bullseye on the back.
So Joe goes and gives it to baby Mark Ruffalo and says, you need to give this to his wife. And it's the silver star that he just got. And he goes, you gave him your silver star? And he goes, I don't do this for medals. He goes, I've already got one anyway. You know, and he's like, what'd you get that one for? And he says, I quote, the first one I got, I threw into the ocean. What'd you get that for? For not dying. And then he says, this is the men that, so the men also who fought with me got decorated too for dying. So all this is all in his type of thing. And then the first command, he finds out, Ben finds out that, because he's drinking that night and just telling him everything, finds out that all the people died right as soon as they were getting off of the boat to go into for his command. That's why he was in charge, because he wasn't supposed to be in charge. He's only whatever he was before a sergeant. And so he wasn't supposed to be in charge, but everybody in front of him died as they were getting off the boat.
Got it.
So that's where he finds out. That's what happened. All the people died in your platoon. This is what you do. And he basically just said, what are their names? Might not be nice to tell a story. That's what Ben says to him. What are their names? And he goes, what a magical pile of Navajo horseshit. And that's a perfect Nicolas Cage line right there. Yes, you know, and he delivers it perfect.
I wish they'd left that in.
I know, because it was actually quite, it's like, oh, that's exactly what. Anyway, and then, so he's walking through the graves and he's seeing ghosts. Is essentially, and Ben's watching him see ghosts because he's having his flashbacks, and that's what he's calling it, his ghosts. And then Ben goes to his rescue, puts Joe to bed. So this is nothing you've seen, right? Mm-mm. Okay, so he goes to his rescue, puts Joe to bed, and watches over him. This is where the cigarette comes in. He starts doing the ritual.
Okay.
Over him with the cigarette and the ash and everything like that. A protection prayer.
Tobacco. Okay.
Yep. And so then Joe wakes and he says, I'm not that drunk, Yazzie. Knock that horse shit out.
Okay.
You know, and so, and then Ben just, and then he falls back asleep. Ben just continues it. Like, right. He just, no, I'm just going to keep going. And then we have the platoon walking and talking about. That's why I was really confused. I'm like, okay. Where
wow,
is
they
it?
Got a lot out.
Yeah.
So stop me next time when yeah. I start saying.
Sorry. I was like, huge. Well, I thought I just wrote it down. Yeah, I thought I wrote it down differently. And so they make it to the village, and you know, and Pete and Charlie making the music, and Joe finds a mother and child, and the Catholic thing, and
so now we're where the Japanese attack. The
yes, yes,
village.
Yes. So you see, the flamethrower man.
Oh gosh, that guy.
Oh, I felt bad for him, but Joe, he knows. He's much more in war mode than everybody else.
The poor Harry of the flamethrower and chocolate bomb.
You knew it was going to happen. He was a walking bomb.
And he was also like nice to somebody.
He was super nice to her. So you know, gave her all the chocolate, and he blows up and. So Joe puts him out of his misery.
And Charlie saves Chick. And
oh, yeah.
Chick has a mid-battle epiphany.
Yep, he really does. Yeah, he does.
So Pete gets bandaged, and he tells Charlie that he can't let Charlie be taken alive.
But he can't do it. He can't do it. He loves him. It's his friend. It's his code talker.
And so, and this surprised me, and it surprised me the first time I saw it, and I totally forgot over the years.
Did they leave that in?
Yeah.
They left that in, and they took the other part out?
Yeah. So it's like, because it's Christian Slater, and he was a big deal back then.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
man.
He's still kind of a big deal, but he was like a really, I mean, he was like, top of his game back then.
Yeah, what was the one, I can't even think of the name.
Heathers and all that stuff. And so when
Gleam in the Cube, man.
Gleam in the Cube.
Oh, man.
So when he gets decapitated, it actually was shocking.
Time out.
Yes.
They're coming out with another Heathers.
I'm not pleased.
And no.
We're not going to go into it.
I saw the trailer.
So the whole
And I'm
point,
sitting there watching it, I'm like,
the whole
That's Heathers.
Of Heathers
yep.
is that these girls who are the mean girls,
right.
they're the, you know, queen bees of the school,
mm-hmm.
they get what's coming to them.
Right.
All the people who are homophobic, all the people who mm-hmm. are snobby and are mean to all the other people. And so in this one, it's all the underdogs. The punks, the gay guy, somebody else.
They get it, what's coming to them?
They're the Heathers.
Well, that's dumb.
And so it's like, no. See, they're
the Heathers
underdogs.
Are the mean girls. There are still mean girls out there. And they are the Heathers.
Right. You don't need to make the people who
are... Are they not even going to have Big Fun anymore?
Oh, I hope Big Fun's in it. But it just looks so bad because you're making the people who are victims, even to this mm-hmm. day, be the perpetrators.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work for me at all.
No.
So I'm not looking forward to it.
Okay. And back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
So...
So Pete can't kill Charlie, obviously.
The Japanese get Charlie.
Oh, yeah, they get him.
And then he realizes what Pete meant about how he can't do it.
Yeah, and he knows. Charlie is very smart.
So he starts to fight them off, and then Joe sees him. Mm-hmm. And they share a look, and Charlie nods.
Yep, he says, no, he knows.
Yep, do it. And so Joe throws a grenade in there.
But he was still hesitant. He's hesitant. He knows. He's like, you know, Pete couldn't do it. Obviously, Pete didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so then Ben comes back because they had taken Ben.
Where's my friend Charlie?
Yeah, he goes, I can't find Pete or White Horse anywhere. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's over there.
But the thing is, this is a really good scene for Nicolas Cage because he's so messed up that he had to kill someone he actually cared about. That he's like, he's totally disassociated.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he's over there. Just kind of points. And so Ben's excited. Yay, Charlie's over there. Yeah. And he runs over and it's a pile of bodies.
Yeah. So this is, Joe tells Ben, well, I killed him. He had no, he told him. Yep. And Joe wants to kill, or Ben wants to kill Joe, and they both want to kill him. You know, like,
Joe meaning, says that. He says, do it.
There's the only way he's ever going to die.
And even Ben Chick feels bad.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, because Charlie just saved his life.
Right.
So now, Ben is no longer smiling.
Nope.
Chick.
That's a switch, you said.
And then, so Chick's talking to Joe. Mm-hmm. And then he tells him he's thinking too much. And he's all, that's the first time I've ever been accused of that. But he's sitting there thinking. He's trying to work it out in his head because he's not a smart man. Mm-hmm. And he's been taught something his whole life. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to work it out in his head. And I'm not being sympathetic to Chick whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But it's just, that's the way he is, his progression. He's going to this place and he's trying to figure it out. And he's talking to the prone person he thinks might understand because he's the smart person of the group. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's like, I'm trying to figure it out. Like, where have I gone wrong? Mm-hmm. If he would have saved my life.
Right.
You know, and even though I've been terrible to him. So he's, you know, and that's not, it's not meaning to go that far into it, but at least it shows some sort of progression of
even side characters.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. So Joe, I was just following orders, Ben.
So Ben takes Charlie's knife and medicine bag and he honors Charlie as a fallen warrior.
Oh, and then he hears over the radio from all the other wind talkers.
Oh.
They didn't do that? He said, we heard about Charlie. He was a good man.
They might have, but I might have just skipped that part. In my notes. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, Charlie didn't even want to come.
No, he just was coming.
Because Ben was going.
Yeah. He's like, I didn't want anybody to think that you were the smartest, the best we've got. Mm-hmm. And so Joe I was following orders, Ben. Of course you were. Ben's like, you're a damn good bleeping Marine. Mm-hmm. You know, totally sarcastic. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not happy anymore. So the platoon is heading up on the ridge. Mm-hmm. And they're in the middle of a minefield. And they all stop. And they're in the middle of a minefield. And then there's a sneak attack. And Ben tries to go. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, well, bleep this. And just takes off, you know, type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the sneak attack happens. Mm-hmm. And Ben is completely on the front lines now. He is the one in the front. He is the one killing people. He's got the crazy switched eyes of Nicolas Cage. Right. In this one. His eyes get all big.
So here's the other thing real quick, though. So Mark Ruffalo has a hyperventilation problem.
Oh, yeah. When he gets excited. So I can't breathe when I get excited.
How can they let that guy be in war?
They would have not.
Drug him out of the service?
You know, flat feet are not allowed. But the guy's hyperventilating.
I have a hard time believing that.
No, I'm sure it's,
totally,
But maybe he you know, held it together because he really wanted to go. So, you know, Ben's getting a little revenge for Charlie, you know, killing a bunch of people. So, go ahead.
Yeah, so they're totally clear of the minefield, and Ben gets tired of waiting, so he pushes that guy out of the way, and turns out to be red shirt number one. And then it's the Japanese attack, and bodies fall on mines, the bullets set off mines, blow, explosion.
Oh, yeah, everywhere.
And then, so, the ridge...
That they got to go up and protect? So they got to go up and look over so they can see what's going on?
So they fly a plane over it?
Yeah, I know, huh?
Because that's where all the Japanese are now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a Viking down.
Yep. Yeah. Gunny gets hurt. Joe's in charge.
And the others pull him to safety.
Oh, good God. Joe's in charge.
That's right.
So Ben runs off because he's not trusting Joe anymore. Mm-hmm. He takes off.
He charges into the fire where before he cowered.
Yep. So he now has the same... he also has that same crazy look that Joe normally has. Mm-hmm. And he's going on a killing spree. And now there's four left. Mm-hmm. And no one else is going to die. They're all sitting there in that bunker. And they said, no one else is going to die.
And Joe says, you aren't going to die. You're going to make it out.
That's right. But they got to get the radio.
Yeah.
So they have in the moment. So yeah, so then we have a, you know, trying to go get the radio. Trying. And then they have a moment in the middle of the combat. They're both hit.
So I said bullets, explosions. I couldn't tell what was going on.
No, yeah, pretty much. And then they both get hit, and then you have Joe protecting Ben. Mm-hmm. Damn it, Joe, just get it over with. Shut up, Ben. Mm-hmm. And then he smiles again. He says, Joe, we did it. Because he got the radio. He did everything and called it in, and they blew it up. And but Joe's dying. Oh, this is a good death scene.
Yes.
And the reason being is we checked all the boxes. Mm-hmm. So you got him telling him why he had to, that he, you know, about Charlie.
Right.
You know, what he had to do, why he did it. You know, they had a connection. They knew he knew he had to die. Right. Then you've got blood coming out of the mouth, sputtering. Pop, 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 pop. Then you got Hail Mary.
Yes. Oh, they did.
Trifecta.
That's right.
And you got the two Catholics.
Yep.
So they have to, you know, that has to be at the end. And they just, but it was a good death scene. He died really well.
He did die really well.
He died really well.
Nicolas Cage. He's going to die well.
He's going to do everything well, as we can, you know, say that now.
So, yeah, Chicken Baby, Mark Ruffalo gives a present fire. The planes arrive. Joe's shredded.
Yep.
And then Joe dies redeemed.
Yep, exactly. Totally redeemed. And then he goes back. And then we go back completely full circle. Ben Yossi back in Arizona desert.
And he's performing the ceremony with his wife and son to honor Joe.
Exactly.
And then he tells the story to his son, George, because oral traditions are very important in Native culture.
That's exactly right. And that is very true in any type of culture now.
That's why he asked earlier, because I didn't see that scene, but that's why he asked earlier about the names of the fallen soldiers.
What are the names?
What are the names? Because you honor the fallen by talking about them, by telling their story.
And that's what we're missing in society today.
And then we learned that the code was vital to the victories in the Pacific, and it was never broken.
Exactly right.
Okay, Rita.
Yeah, she just disappeared.
Yeah, because she's writing the letters.
Yeah.
And, I mean...
She's just a character that filler, I have to call her.
I guess
filler,
so.
You know, and just basically having some sort of connection to something other than, you know, just to Ben, I would assume. Some sort of outside world type of thing, but he... Yeah. I don't know. She must have gone back home.
Yeah.
And just quit writing to him or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, she kept writing to him, but then he died.
He died. But yes, we have no idea what happened.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she's going to see his name on the lists, but it's just, I don't know. It would have been nice to have some closure with her.
Yeah.
But of course, you don't.
That would have been nice. It would have been nice not to be such a long movie.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's pretty tight.
And apparently two huge scenes were cut out of the version.
And it was still a long movie for
it
you.
Really was.
It was all those commercials.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was I can't believe they cut those scenes out of here. That was like huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a huge part of the movie.
And I know that like one scene.
That was a great part of the
movie. They were driving away and it was like, while he was telling, like just moments before he told Ben not to write the letter, that Nelson was writing letters, the letter from Rita is blown around the graveyard.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah. I thought, wow. Pot and kettle, huh?
Pot and kettle. That's right.
Don't write letters. They might find out. I'm just going to toss that letter out into the wind.
And they don't know where we are. Right. So overall, I mean, it was a fine movie. It was a fine movie.
Yeah.
I like a lot of more his edgy stuff, I think. You know, and just by, you know, because Leaving Las Vegas was edgy. I mean, it was a fine movie. It was a good movie.
It wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't terrible. No. I mean, there were some definite, like, mistakes and this and stuff. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty tough to watch.
Like so flat.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty tough to watch some of it. But it's
2002. But, I mean, it did what it's supposed to do. It's like, rah-rah, Army, Marines. I'm sorry. Oops.
Rah-rah,
Marines. And, you know.
What's their
hoorah?
Yeah, no, what's their Semper thing? Fi? Something about something never die, Semper Fi.
Well, they even say Semper Fi on the radio. They're speaking in Navajo, and then he says something Semper Fi.
Yeah, because he said something, Marines never die, Semper Fi, or something. Air Force.
Navy.
Well, yeah, I've had the talk with your mother.
Okay.
You were Air Force, your family's Air Force? I'm like, oh, Wanda.
Well, I guess we better wrap it up, so...
Yep.
Thank you for listening, as always. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can email us at themobiflix@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @Moby_Flix. On Facebook, MobyFlix. And until next time, I'm Lizanne.
And I'm Maggie.
And we're
MobyFlix. Flix.